The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Could be one last gasp. Fourth down pass by Luck. Batted in the air, and it is caught. Incredible. Deshaun Hamilton.
Troy Rank in for Stink here as we kick off the brew with the reports out there. Rumblings that the Broncos might be looking to ease their glut of wide receivers by trading one, and Deshaun Hamilton's name is being mentioned. You hearing anything about that?
Well, he would obviously like a better fit, because when you have Courtland Sutton back healthy, KJ Hamler back healthy, Jerry Jeudy, and Tim Patrick, there's just no real place for Deshaun Hamilton. I thought he was going to be in jeopardy of getting cut last year. The coaching staff loves Deshaun. Teammates love him. He's a hard worker. He's got versatility, but he's got 81 catches in 3 years, right? He just really hasn't produced. So could you get a late-round pick for him? Perhaps. There's not a lot of value there because of the fact that, you know, he's never been a guy. He's had a couple of big games. But would it surprise me if they moved on from him? It would not. And it also says they do like Tyree Cleveland. They have depth on the roster, so you can see why a guy like Deshaun Hamilton would look for a better fit.
Yeah, he had a couple of flashes. That comeback win over the Chargers, 4 catches for 82 yards and a touchdown. He had 5 catches for 77 again against the Chargers. Maybe the Chargers might want to trade for him after what he did in a couple games. But, yeah, they do need to ease the logjam there. And if they can get something for Deshaun Hamilton, good move. Next on the Morning Brew.
We knew the COVID still thing. We knew it was going to be a thing. Why has it taken down to this? Hey, let's simply implement the exact same rules as last year. And let's use that as the baseline. Hey, players, if you opt out, you get this still. If you go on the COVID list, you're still going to get paid. All of that has been washed away. There has been no agreement on that again.
Brandon McManus explaining why the Broncos and now more teams are choosing to skip some of these voluntary workouts that are set to begin next week. Bears, Browns, Giants, and Raiders joining the other teams that initially, so I think we're up to about 10 teams now that have done it. I've in looking at it, Troy, to me it only matters if you get to the point of the calendar, the offseason calendar, when you're supposed to be doing OTAs on the field, which I think is about May 19th. If the Broncos aren't on the field when they have an opportunity to be on the field, then to me it's a story. Till then, I don't really blame these guys for wanting to have a little bit more of an offseason.
Yeah, there's a nuanced layer to this that the players are pushing back, the union's pushing back on the owners. You know, they get this 17-game schedule enacted, and they're just trying to feel like we don't want to make this a 10, 11-month year job. We don't feel the necessity of being there for voluntary workouts. And COVID is part of it. Is it all of it? It absolutely is not all of it. Let's be honest here. But that is the safety concerns. The way I was explained to me, they didn't want to just show up on Monday, 65 guys, get MESA tests, wait 30 minutes for results, so they sit in their parking lot. You know, and then when am I supposed to make my flight out? Like, they didn't feel like it was fair that the onus was on them to just show up and figure it out. So the NFL put the schedule out. The Broncos, which was mutually exclusive to this, working on for weeks, will provide testing for the players, coaches, staff, and adult family members. So that's why the Broncos might reconsider that the NFLPA does not want these players doing voluntary workouts. The key, though, is guys with workout bonuses still could show up at the facility, lift weights and leave so they get their money. The NFLPA doesn't want those guys to surrender money. There's a lot of money for teams like the Packers and Bills. I mean, millions of dollars at stake.
Next on the Morning Brew.
The 2-0. Muncie with a fly ball. Right center field and deep. On its way and gone. Max Muncie, a 3-run home run.
Dodgers Radio. Rockies were leading 5-3 going into the bottom of the seventh. Maybe, just maybe, they'd get one of those elusive wins in L.A. Nope. Dodgers score 4 in the seventh, beat the Rockies 7-5, finish off the 3-game sweep. Troy, when I watch a Rockies game against the Dodgers, especially in L.A., it's amazing. Like, baseball is one of those random games where, you know, the worst team in baseball can just go out one day and thump the best team in baseball. It just happens that way. But there is such an air of inevitability whenever the Rockies are playing in L.A., that no matter what things they're doing well, no matter how well the game seems to be trending their way, there's just this sense that I have that, yeah, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Because the Dodgers will come back and win.
Yeah,
it's inevitable.
Impending doom. It's like, it's not Godzilla versus King Kong when they play. It's more like the Gecko versus King Kong. I mean, they have no chance. The Dodgers are so much better than the Rockies. The Dodgers could roll out their sixth, seventh, and eighth starters and be better than the Rockies. But I was so bad. When I would cover the games in San Francisco and L.A. as a beat writer for the Denver Post, I would literally have a running game story for them to lose every night because I just never felt like they would win. And part of that's because of the tight deadline. I mean, you're literally trying to turn around 750 words in 15 minutes. So I would have a separate Word document open with them losing.
Even if they were ahead.
Yeah, it was almost like an ad lib. Yeah, even with their ahead. They could have been ahead by two runs. And I was like, okay, there's still a chance they're going to lose or go to extra innings. Because that's what they do. They are so bad in San Francisco and L.A. And that it's already put this season in a huge pinch. Playing the Dodgers seven times to start the year was like the worst case scenario for this team.
Rockies 3-10, 0-6 on the road. Next on the Morning Brew.
Remember now, people were questioning Justin Fields. People were questioning Justin Fields, and he hadn't said a word. People were questioning just how committed he was and whether he was going to be one of those guys who's going to put in the time to be great. If Justin Fields had said this kind of thing, what do you think we'd be talking about here this morning? So I'm just going to put that out there. And I'm not questioning Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying, though.
There's Louis Riddick on ESPN. And Trevor Lawrence raising some eyebrows with comments in a Sports Illustrated article in which he said, look, if you're trying to find out if I have some giant chip on my shoulder that's going to drive me through my NFL career, I don't have one. It's not there. It's not what motivates me. His father was quoted as saying he's not obsessed with winning a Super Bowl. Is this a red flag at all for you if you're talking about spending the number one overall pick on a guy that maybe isn't one of those Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, eat, sleep, dream, obsess over football type guy?
I mean, it's slightly concerning because we watch with Andrew Luck, and part of it, he left.
Exactly who I thought about.
He left because of injuries, but he also was a very diverse person who didn't need football to define his life.
Right.
And when he got to the point where he's tired of getting his kidneys lacerated and his back hit, like, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to go travel and be a dad. You know, and Trevor Lawrence is very committed to his faith. He has, you know, a million outside interests that don't involve football.
Just got married.
Married young.
Yep.
Am I concerned right now? I'm not. But it bears watching. I think Louis Riddick makes a point that when we scrutinize some of these quarterbacks, I've said it's like, you know, with Justin Fields, it feels like we're picking on the mole on Cindy Crawford. Like,
right.
Enough already.
Right.
Like, we've watched this guy for 2 years. He's a great quarterback, and we just scrutinize everything. And Lawrence deserves scrutiny for this comment. We'll see how it plays out. I'm not worried right now, but I do see some of the parallels to Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And if he were to start getting injured, would some of his interest wane? But I do appreciate his honesty that I'm not going to manufacture a chip. I've been the guy since I was like 15 years old, so I'm not going to lie to you about it. And not everyone's Michael Jordan and Tom Brady. And when you talk outlier, they're the 0.00001%.
Right.
When say he should be Tom Brady and Michael Jordan. No one is Tom Brady and Michael Jordan. So don't put that on him, but it bears watching.
Yeah. I mean, I take a guy like a Nikola Jokic who just seems to be a really happy-go-lucky guy. Doesn't stop him from absolutely carving you up on a nightly basis to the point where he seems to be the runaway favorite. Runaway, really. Listen to what I'm saying. Runaway favorite to be the MVP this year. It's an Is It Just Me Friday. Troy Rank staying in for Stink. We'll talk to Cecil Lammy as he gets closer and closer to releasing his one and only mock draft. Will he give us a preview? That's next.